1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
You asked for golf, you got golf. It's time for the Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben. For the next 2 hours, you'll get the best in local, national, and international golf. Interviews from all the tours, the latest inside news, plus a weekly local course review, help on improving your golf game, and our weekly trivia contest, and so much more. So step up to the tee and get ready to keep it in the short grass. It's the Golfer's Home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
Sunday morning, public apology time, Tiger Woods time, trivia time, and I need help. I need help. Those are the four things we're going to do today. I'm Stephen Gribben. Joining me, he is the Director of Instruction at the Four Seasons Golf and Resort. Is that correct?
No.
Give me the name.
Four Seasons Resort and Club.
Four Seasons Resort. So it doesn't even say golf.
They have tattoos that you could get that taken care of so you never forget it.
You know, it's so weird. I don't know if it's that, you know, getting old kind of thing. I've wanted to get a tattoo for the last year. My problem is I just don't know what to get. I do. I want to get one. I just don't know what to get. All right. Four Seasons Resort and Club.
There you go. Yes.
But you are the Director of Instruction.
Yes.
It's cold out and you're going to go teach?
I'm going to teach. The rain kind of messed my schedule up a little bit yesterday. So I had a full slate, and I got about halfway to work, and the lightning and the thunder, and I looked at the satellite that was on my radio in terms of where the weather was coming from and pulled off into a parking lot and rearranged my schedule. And so now, actually, I've got to leave you a little bit early today so that I can facilitate my lessons from yesterday.
Now, has there ever been discussion about doing an indoor anything over there?
Well, we have a covered hitting bay.
Right. I know you have covered.
We're just not fully weatherproof. I think that all parties would like to have that. It's just, you know, we've got a massive resort that we continually update.
Right.
That my wants and needs are a little farther down on the list than what.
Hey, you've been there a long time.
I have been there a long time, but still, you know, we're doing some product enhancements this year. We did some very, very nice ones last year, and we'll get there.
Okay, the phone number is 214 or 817-787-1190. Right? 214-817-787-1190. I am cleaning out a 10 by 40 storage bin today. I'm getting all the stuff out. Now, what the ex-wife doesn't know, you know, she was kind of what you would call a hoarder. Like, we have bags and bags. We have bags and bags of my kids' baby clothes.
Yeah.
Except they're 24 and 17. So this stuff is going away. But I don't know where to go with it.
Salvation Army.
No.
Goodwill. Or is this trash?
Well, I was just going to trash it, but I don't know where to take it. So I'm going from Coppell to Fort Worth. What do you do? Like, I have at least five televisions in there. You know, like the big, remember the big old 60-inch big screens, but they were like 18, sure. You know, 27, 50 inches wide also.
Took
you know,
up half the room.
Right. I have two of those in there that she didn't want to ever get rid of.
You could set up a swap meet out in the parking lot.
You know,
right here.
I actually thought about doing that, but I don't even know where to do that. Now, there is a swap meet in Fort Worth I thought about doing every weekend, but I got to do a radio show on Sundays.
Sure.
I have to do other stuff on Saturdays. I don't have time to do a swap meet. So if anybody has any suggestions on what I should do with all this stuff, I need your help, and I need it in the next 2 hours.
Why don't you hire Uncle Ryan to run the swap meet? Then you can buy a new set of clubs.
Uncle Ryan is about to have a second child, so I don't think Uncle Ryan wants to.
He's having it?
Well, you know, the family.
Understand. Okay.
So I need to know what to do with this stuff. So if you're listening and if you have any suggestions, clues, or thoughts, 214-787-1190. I need to go know where to go with this stuff. Now, there's like this big dump over in West Fort Worth, but do you just take it there? Do they charge me to go in?
I think they'll charge you less than what they're going to charge you if you leave it in your storage.
Well, it's interesting. I told you, I called public storage yesterday. I didn't tell them who I was. And I said to public storage, I said, you know, I'm moving out this weekend. And so I got a lot of stuff that I probably don't want. You know, would you guys want it? And he said, well, if you leave it in there, it could cost you $300 for us to clean your storage bin. It's almost worth $300, I'm telling you.
Maybe one of the listeners will show you the way today.
So I've got four guys showing up. We're going to divide it into three stacks. Stuff that's going to the new storage bin, which is only 10 by 30
okay.
in Fort Worth. Stuff that's going to my new office. And then stuff that's going to trash. Or donation. I don't care. If somebody wants to meet me at the Coppell Public Storage, they can have all this stuff.
You never know. You got to donate it. They're calling you as we speak.
No, that's Brian Katrick. Oh, Brian okay. Katrick just said he would come on at 8:30, so that's cool. I'm really excited about that. He is doing PGAtour.com streaming.
Is he already on right now?
Yeah, they start okay. at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Or 7, I
Eastern.
Think, our time. Yeah. Well, no, because there's nobody playing yet, is there? What time's first tee time?
I think there's guys playing right now.
No. Yes, there yeah. are. So he's on. Lee Westwood is yeah. playing right now.
Yep.
Okay, Timmy, give a weather report because it's going to get ugly this afternoon, right?
It's going to get ugly. You know, always whatever goes through Dallas seems to go through the East Coast about 36 or 48 hours later. They've got some decent temperatures, but they had a little bit of wind yesterday, and they're supposed to get some serious wind today. I think sustained winds later today at 25 miles an hour with gusts that could get up to 40 miles an hour. That could make that golf course really, really interesting.
So you wonder if there could be another Boo Weekly situation today.
Where someone could race off and shoot something and
yeah.
sit in the
clubhouse for 3 hours.
Couple hours. Yeah, yeah.
You just
possibly,
wonder about
yeah,
that.
For sure.
And then the cool part about today is, how would you like to be Ricky Fowler? I mean, Ricky Fowler leaves the golf course yesterday thinking he's going to play with somebody he's probably never even met. Okay? He ends up the day at 9 under par. And at that point, Justin Rose was tied with Tiger at 11 under, and Thorgan Olsen, who's a very good player.
It's his first PGA Tour event.
Exactly, and, yeah. and a very good player on yeah. the European Tour. A lot of people actually compare him to Rory
mm-hmm.
in style and in everything else. He was at 9 under, and or he was at 8 under. I don't remember what it was exactly, but it looked like that's who Ricky would play with. Ricky leaves, comes back, and probably checks the news later and finds out
he's with TW.
Justin bogeys mm-hmm. a bunch of holes on the back, shoots 39 on the back, and he's all of a sudden two shots behind Tiger, but playing with him. And that's, you know, that's kind of be a cool thing to do for Fowler. He's done this before.
Yeah, he did it at the Memorial last year, and Tiger shot 67, and he shot 84, and
right.
a little bit of a difference in score there. But I think he relishes that. I think he looks forward to you know, that stage. The only thing that you hope doesn't happen is that Tiger has about 5 or 6 whipping boys that he wore out earlier in his career. Davis Love and Ernie Els and Phil Mickelson. And, you know, you just hope that he doesn't just intimidate this kid to death to where, you know, it scars him later on. So Ricky's got to step it up today. He's got to bring it to the table. He's got to play a good round in that group.
It's an interesting concept, and we'll see what happens. I hope Ricky plays well. I think it would be fun. But, you know, this will tie Tiger with Sam for winning one tournament the most times.
Right.
8 times.
Right.
And Sam did it in Greensboro.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. You know, if Tiger wins today, he will have more than 10% of his wins overall at Bay Hill. You realize that?
That's true. Well,
if
you take Bay Hill,
Memorial, Torrey,
and is it Torrey? Those
yeah,
three.
He's got 7 at Torrey.
Yeah, that makes up like 23 of his 77
right. yeah.
wins.
So that's almost a quarter.
Yeah. More than a quarter.
More than a quarter, yeah.
yeah.
He's found some courses he likes.
But that's why you raised the question, and we've done it here on this show so many times. I mean, listen, is the guy the greatest player of our generation? No question. But you wonder, you know, if he added two tournaments a year, Colonial, whatever, and whether he would ever win at those, you know, I mean, he would, but still, it does raise the question about horses for courses. Mm-hmm. And
someone that's that deep in his career and is so comfortable with the courses that he plays, the schedule that he plays, the practice rounds, this and that, where if he goes to Riviera and plays more, if he goes to Colonial and plays more, drastically different style of play that he has to play. He's got to hit fairways. That's the biggest, you know, the biggest difference right there. And you take some of his advantage away, his scrambling, his Houdini like, Seve Ballesteros like play. You take that away, and you know he doesn't really care to do that.
No, he doesn't. And what's also interesting is he has really taken. No, he hasn't. Let me rephrase. Hank Haney has really taken a beating this week between the television broadcasts and the radio broadcasts. I mean, they are talking about the fact that, you know, with the new swing, that he doesn't miss the fairways is wide. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. I mean, it's like he never won when he was with Hank.
Yeah, but do you realize yesterday that he missed eight straight fairways?
Right. That's what I made my point. What is it that they've got it? I mean, do people just hate Hank, or is it just the guy won a higher percentage with Hank than he did not with Hank against Butch.
I know. 77 guys made the cut at Bay Hill, okay? He is 75th in driving right now of the 77 guys that made cut.
Right.
And so he's had stretches where he's driven it better, and maybe his miss isn't so wide. Okay, but he's certainly not Fred Funk.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. 8:30, Brian Katrick is going to come on. He's going to take a break from PGAtour.com. Now, if you're going to go watch the streaming, you can watch it, but you got to turn it down. You can't listen to Brian. You got to listen to us until 10, and then you can turn him up. 9:05, Rex Hoggart's going to come on, and we're going to talk about Olympics and a couple other things. I have my new pledge for the Olympics. I'm going on the bandwagon. And we'll talk UCLA basketball and make a public apology for them and say goodbye to Ben Holland. And we'll do a whole lot more. We'll give you scores next as Tim Cusick is going to give you the name of the winner on the European Tour next. Here, it's the Golfer's Home. We're just getting started at 1190 a.m.
Is your smartphone naked? It is, if it doesn't have the iHeartRadio app on. With the iHeartRadio app, your smartphone can get 1,500 live radio stations. It can make custom music stations. It can even use the Perfect For feature. Perfect for any activity. But without the iHeartRadio app, your smartphone is just, well, naked. Dress it up. Download the free app now at iHeartRadio.com. iHeartRadio is now available on Roku.
Someday, I'll wake up on a yacht in the Caribbean. Someday, I'll sell my screenplay and change careers.
Someday, I'll drive my very own Mercedes-Benz.
Someday is today. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, driving the car of your dreams is a lot closer than you think. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio.
Someday, I'll stop saying someday.
Don't wait. It's time to love what you drive. Available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
What's the best way to transform your next gathering or event?
T-shirts!
T-shirts. Custom-made T-shirts that you design online with Custom Ink. Whether a big game, reunion, charity fundraiser, with Custom Ink, any occasion becomes a memorable event.
Thanks, Custom Ink!
On-time delivery is guaranteed, and we'll even ship your order absolutely free.
Start designing your custom ink t-shirts today and see why 99% of our customers say they would order from us again. Customink.com.
Are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low libido, and fat storage? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambrin restores hormonal balance in women over 40, so the extra pounds fall away and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-830-8070. That's 1-800-830-8070.
Change a life in a big way.
I knew that they wanted Jocelyn to be able to have somebody else to talk to in her life.
I had a big sister before, but she moved.
I wasn't sure if we would bond.
Debbie and I just clicked.
How we would get that connection. I was a little nervous about that.
It's like, I just feel like this is going to last a really long time.
But that dissipated pretty quick.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
Hi, this is Bernadette, owner of Adrift Float Spa. Did you know that stress is one of the major contributors of high health care costs? As Arianna Huffington reported in a recent CNBC interview, stress is prevalent in corporate America and affects negatively our productivity as a nation. Corporate America needs to be paying attention to stress reduction. Floating or flotation therapy is learning and experiencing what it feels like to truly relax. What are the benefits of floating? Decreased stress, nervousness, and anxiety. Decreased muscular aches and pains. Improved concentration, memory, and mental focus. Increased energy and performance. Enhanced quality of sleep. And a general overall sense of well-being. De-stress your employees. Call Adrift about our corporate packages at 214-363-5628. That's 214-363-5628. Or visit us at AdriftFloatSpa.com.
A win today by Tiger Woods makes him the number one player in the world. I think he'd rather win Augusta.
I would say so, too. You know, you were talking about streaming on PGAtour.com before we went to break. And I'll tell you what, the last two or three weeks when we've been watching that as we've been doing our telecast, there's some wild stuff going on there.
Oh, I'm telling you, it is really fun to watch.
I mean, it's almost a bloopers deal.
It is, and because you get to watch every player. I mean, there's a reason a guy is tied for 75th on Sunday.
Right, and he's looking to get out of town.
Yeah, and if you want to, I mean, if you want to see watch golf the way most of us play it, just watch the streaming. I mean, there's a reason. I mean, we're going to talk to Kacher about that in about 6 minutes. Okay, so let's give the leaderboards. Let's start with the web.com tour where, well, according to the Golf Channel, Eddie Lohr is winning the PGA Tour Arnold Palmer Invitational by MasterCard.
So on the web.com tour, they're in Louisiana, and it's the Louisiana Open. And local product, Edward Lohr, who played at Oklahoma State, just before Ricky Fowler got there.
And his daddy is still the head coach?
His dad was the coach at SMU, but no longer.
Oh, no longer.
No.
Okay.
He was there for about 10, 12 years and left there about 2 years
Who's
ago.
Who's coaching the team now?
Josh Gregory, who was at Augusta State and won two NCAAs, is the coach. He actually played all 4 years for Hank and I when we coached at SMU back in the early, mid 90s. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Very quickly, and I'm interrupting here. You got a couple minutes. What does, I mean, other than recruiting as good as you can, I mean, what is a college coach? College coaches don't teach, right? Well, you
no.
would because you were a teacher.
We did.
But college coaches don't necessarily teach their players.
Right. So you've got to
recruit.
You got to recruit. Okay. You've got to take care of the scholarship situations. You've got to make sure the kids are going to school. Okay. Which is, you know, not the easiest thing in the world to
right.
do. You got to make sure that they're following a schedule in terms of their practice. You got to hold the qualifyings. You got to make the schedule so that the coach is it's not like, you know, being part of a conference where they give you the schedule. You have to create your schedule. And now with the way that they choose who plays in the regionals to get to the NCAAs, you've got to pick the right tournament so you're getting the right number of points.
Right.
And so those are and then motivate the kids. You've got to get the kids to play well. You got to pick the right kids to go to the tournament. So, I mean, it's a full-time job. And now with the way and how competitive college golf is and how great some of these programs have their facilities, you've got to be in on that too. Fundraising, you've got to be part of the fundraising because you don't have, you know, money just sitting around for you since it's a nonprofit sport. So you've got a lot to do. You got a lot to do. But Edward Lohr is leading at 15 under. Shot 64 yesterday. 68, 66, 64, maybe 62 today if he follows his stretch here the way he's going, sitting at 198. Troy Merritt is in second place at 14 under. Morgan Hoffman, a Oklahoma State product, is at third place. He shot 62 yesterday. This guy's playing all 18. Unbelievable. And then Blaine Barber, tied for fourth, 65 yesterday. He is the gentleman that disqualified himself from the tour school last year and has done nothing but good since then. You know, it's interesting how that has that's played out, but he was a very, very good player, Walker Cup player, played at the University of Auburn, All-American. So it should be a shootout in Louisiana. All the weather has moved past there, I believe. They'll get some wind, I'm sure, but a shootout in Louisiana. Now we go to, I think we should go to the European Tour.
We need a drum roll here.
In Malaysia.
Go ahead. The
Maybank Malaysian Open. They had to cancel one of the rounds earlier this week because they had almost a typhoon that went through there. They had so much rain, so it was shortened to 54 holes. And the winner,
you can do it,
at 13 under, gentleman from Thailand who turned pro in 2008. So this is, you know, this is a huge win for him. A gentleman by the name of Karadek Afabarnrat. Karadek Afabarnrat won the Maybank Malaysian Open. Way too many syllables for this deal. Way, way too many. And I got a lot of sleep last night. There's way too many syllables there. But he for 54 holes, 13 under par.
Were any Americans playing over there?
One shot victory. I don't believe so. One shot victory over Eduardo Molinari, who's played very well. And,
you know, here, if I won last night, I don't know if I did or not. If I won $200 million, whatever it is,
I didn't.
My goal would be. You actually check your stickers?
Oh, yeah.
I checked them
this morning.
I never check them. Did anybody win?
Yeah, someone won. Okay. I don't know how many, but someone won.
Okay. Anyway,
Powerball.
I would want to manage Alvaro Quiros. I want Alvaro Quiros in America. I think he's worth zillions.
He's a swashbuckling dude.
Exactly.
He's kind of like the Dos Equis man.
That's what I mean. I mean, he would make so much money in America. I'd like to manage his career.
You'd have to have someone just following him around to make sure he got to the tournament.
Exactly. But he is fun.
Yeah.
Watch him at the Nelson this year. He just has a great time playing golf.
Let's hope he comes.
He does. All
Let's
right,
hope
ahead.
He comes. So one note out of the Malaysian Open is that Luke Donald, who went from Florida to Malaysia, that's a long flight, missed his first cut on the European Tour. That's an amazing stat. First cut.
I don't know. I think we did this on Thursday on Brian's show, and we got to take a quick break. But let's talk about this after Brian comes on, or maybe we can talk about it with Brian. I think Luke's in some trouble. I don't think that Luke doesn't have the power that Rory McIlroy does. Luke doesn't have some of these other things, and I just think Luke's in trouble this year. I think that for whatever reason, I think that his game is definitely not there yet. He took a lot of the time off. He hasn't played that many rounds, and I'm concerned for Luke Donald this year. I really am. I've watched a lot of his golf, and it's not very good. And he just doesn't have the power game, which, you know, a Rory McIlroy does. If you're not playing well, you can sometimes overpower a golf course. I don't think he can. Padraig Harrington did play well in this tournament, sets him up. And this is this 2 weeks away is Augusta, so this is Luke's warm-up for Augusta, and didn't play good at all. Padraig did. So we'll see what happens there. All right. Next up, we're going to talk to Brian Katrick from PGAtour.com streaming and teed off with Brian Katrick on Sirius XM Radio. This is The Golfer's Home. He's Tim Cusick. I'm Stephen Gribben. We'll be right back.
I have some exciting news for sports fans out there. Or if you like to go to concerts or theater, this is for you too. I'd love to take my two sons to a football game. But geez, have you seen the prices of those tickets? But I've discovered a new site called scorebig.com. And get this, you can get tickets to NFL, baseball, NBA, always below box office price guaranteed. This scorebig.com grabs unsold tickets and sells them at huge discounts. So you can save up to 60% on VIP tickets. And there's even more exciting news for radio listeners. Go to scorebig.com right now and you'll get an additional $15 off. That's an extra $15 off already incredibly low price tickets. Remember, tickets at scorebig.com are already up to 60% below box office price. And for a limited time, radio listeners get an additional $15 off. But hurry, the only way to get in on this amazing deal is to go to scorebig.com and type in the promo code 6969 at checkout. That's scorebig.com, promo code 6969.
Would you like to know how to become three times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're three times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-520-9138.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about a dollar a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-520-9138 will receive a free upgraded two-way voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-520-9138. That's 1-888-520-9138.
What's the best way to transform your next gathering or event? T-shirts, custom-made T-shirts that you design online with Custom Ink. Whether a big game, reunion, charity fundraiser, with Custom Ink, any occasion becomes a memorable event.
Thanks, Custom Ink!
On-time delivery is guaranteed, and we'll even ship your order absolutely free.
Start designing your Custom Ink T-shirts today and see why 99% of our customers say they would order from us again. CustomInk.com.
What do a dead drummer and an astrophysicist have in common?
How many oceans are there on the planet?
What highway runs through the U.S. but can't be traveled by car?
To find out the answers to these and many more intriguing questions, check out the Smithsonian's new website, SeriouslyAmazing.com. Questions about art, history, science, and culture come alive every day on SeriouslyAmazing.com. Brought to you by the Smithsonian you remember and the Smithsonian you have only begun to discover. Smithsonian. Seriously amazing.
Are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low libido, and fat storage? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambrin restores hormonal balance in women over 40, so the extra pounds fall away and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-830-8070. That's 1-800-830-8070.
If you missed the Wall Street Shuffle,
after finding sugar in its quote sugar-free goods, fat in its fat-free treats, the Food and Drug Administration said on Friday, Butterfly Bakery Inc. in Clifton, New Jersey, which advertises its products as quote made with 100% love.
I've used that line a few times too.
Tune in weekdays from 4 to 6 for the Wall Street Shuffle.
Minutes after the hour, I'm Stephen Gribben, Tim Cusick. It's the Golfer's Home. And Tiger Woods, two-shot lead over Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, and... So now we go to one of the great voices in radio, and we're going to ask him the very first question out of the box, which will be, Brian Katrick, we need you to name the winner of the European Tour event this morning on the European PGA Tour. Go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to look it up. So hang on a second.
Brian, I could spell it for you, but it's going to take a couple minutes.
All right. Yes, I see that. Awesome Effie Barnrat. Yeah, that's Effie Barnrat.
It's same way I said it.
Affie Barnrat.
Kiradek.
You guys don't know him? Affie Barnrat. No, that guy. Oh, everybody knows him. all right, no, wait a minute. Nobody knows him. I've never heard of him before.
Unbelievable. Appa Barnrat. I have no idea.
He was leading.
I think he's Affie Barnrat.
He was leading Friday morning, and we were gonna give a leaderboard update from Malaysia on your show, and all of a sudden Charles Schwartzel took the lead, and we were so happy that we didn't have to say his name.
By the way, Tim, when was the last time somebody was happy that Schwartzel took
exactly.
the lead? You know, name-wise. When Schwartzel is the easier one to pronounce, you got yourself a little bit of a confusing situation.
All right. So you are doing PGAtour.com streaming, and Tim and I were talking at the top of the show about, you know, we've really enjoyed it this year. And part of what we enjoy is being able to watch those guys that are not on the top of the leaderboard. And they really do. The guys who are in 70th place, 65th place, 65th place, watching them play the holes you're covering has been really fun because it reminds me a lot of the way I play golf.
Well,
they do some funny things out there.
All right. I think the point is, and I enjoy it as well. I think the point is, when you watch network televised golf, all you see is one great shot after another.
Right.
And if somebody that's really involved in the drama it gets himself in trouble, then you might see that shot. But, I mean, it's you don't hardly see any sketchy shots. And you're right. When we sit on a hole like we do on Live At, we watch everybody come through. And, yeah, if a guy's not playing well, we saw Bud Cauley come through yesterday or 2 days ago without a putter. Don't know why. You know, don't know what happened. We can all imagine what happened. And that's not something you would see on TV unless somehow he was putting with his wedge and was also two shots off the lead. So it was, from that standpoint, I agree with you. It's cool to see guys at various stages of their game, and to see even the guy that's playing poorly, to see what poorly on the PGA Tour
exactly
looks like.
That was my point.
A couple of squirrely shots, right? You see a couple of squirrely shots, guys beating it around, and then he winds up still making par,
right?
And you're like, wow, that looked ugly the whole way, and it was a par. And for me, that would have been a seven.
That's exactly right. That's what I mean. I mean, we're joking, but and that's what it is that that's how much better they are. You know, they'll hit three bad shots and make a 6-footer for par.
That's right. It is comforting. I totally get what you're saying. It says he plays like you and he plays like me. You know, you do see shots that you hit, and then you realize that you can survive those shots if you have, you know, a sharper game. You know, if you can get the rest of your game in order, you can survive a loose shot here or there.
Hey, Brian, can you explain something to us? Can you describe?
Can you describe? No, we're going to give you another one, Brian. Here you go.
Can you describe the latest stat on tour, strokes saved and putting?
It's strokes gained.
Strokes right. gained.
So here's what they did. Yeah, it's actually it's a great stat. It's
I read this thing six times, Katrick. I still can't explain it to my audience.
Well, here's what it basically is. They take the amount. They take the distance of putts
right.
on the various holes. So let's just say all three of us have a 6-footer for par at the first hole. Now, at 6 feet, normally on the PGA Tour, that's where they're 50-50.
Right.
So, but for whatever reason, today's hole location at number one is kind of tricky, and nobody's making any 6-footers. So you miss it, I miss it, you know, Tim misses it, we all miss it. All right, and then it turns out the whole field misses it. So we didn't lose a stroke to the field or lose a stroke to half of the field, which would then basically be a half a stroke to the entire field, by missing that putt that should have been 50-50.
Right.
It takes real-time comparisons of what actually happened. So today, the 6-footers at number one were really hard. So if you missed it, we had a putt a couple days ago at number 12. Anybody that got in this one little area, they were all making it. And this thing was, you know, they were making it from 8 feet, they were making it from 15 feet. I mean, it just kept going in. And if enough people made it, you would think, okay, well, that's a stroke that I just picked up on the field. Well, as it turns out, everybody was making it. So it wasn't a stroke that you picked up on the field. So it compares hole by hole, round by round, distance by distance, how you're doing compared to your peers that day. Now, the one thing it can't do, or it doesn't do, is the actual exact putts.
Right. So if you're above the hole versus...
They're not created equal. But it's really, really good.
But if you're above the hole versus below the hole, it doesn't take that into account. So if you're six feet away, you're 6 feet away. It doesn't matter where you are.
That's right. But what it does take into account is at Pebble Beach, nobody makes anything, because the greens are bumpy. So it's not fair to compare your putting, putts per green regulation. If you played Pebble Beach and then I played in Phoenix.
Gotcha.
Because in Phoenix, I'm going to make more than you made the previous week in Pebble Beach. So that's what that stat's all about.
Okay. And it's by tournament only, or do they keep it for the whole year also?
Oh, they keep it for the whole year. It's round by round.
Right.
So, let's just say you had 18 six-footers and you made 10 of them. So the tour average is that you would have made 9 of them. In this case, you made 10 of them, and that day, and you did that at Pebble Beach, where nobody was making six-footers. Well, you picked up a stroke and a half that round on the field by making that one more putt than the field did, and you might have even picked up 2 strokes on the field that particular day. Leaders in this category, nobody's picking up more than 2.5 strokes. I don't know what the actual leader is, but if you're picking up, you're picking up a stroke and a half, a stroke and a quarter, a stroke and three quarters, you're doing well. And keeping in mind, that's per round.
Right. So that was the question I was going to ask you.
Half a stroke per round for 4 rounds is 2 shots at the end of the week.
Right.
Sure.
And I mean, that's the way we used to keep. I used to run, when I coached high school basketball, I used to run a press all the time. And the kids would go, well, it doesn't work. And I'm going, wait a minute. If you get a team to turn it over 2 times a quarter, and you make one of those 2 turnovers into baskets, that's 8 points by the end of the game. And that's when they realize how important it is.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Thank you, Brian.
Work on free throws.
That was really good, Katrick.
Right.
Appreciate that.
That was greatness, actually. How much are you
–
talk a little bit the difference for you between walking a golf course and announcing and sitting and watching this streaming of the hole.
Well, they're two different things. Walking the golf course is certainly fun, and that's a pure experience. The downside to walking the golf course is, the upside is you're out there in the elements. The downside is you're out there in the elements.
Right.
The thing that I like the least about walking and being an on-course reporter is having to stand in front of spectators. Everything else about the job, I don't care if I get rained on. I don't care if I sweat. I got plenty of sunblock on. I love being out there. I don't care if I get hit by a golf ball, whatever. The walking doesn't bother me.
Right.
The thing that bothers me is, especially, I've been very fortunate enough. I've gotten to take just many, many laps with Tiger's group. It was last year at this tournament. I was with Tiger all 4 rounds.
Wow.
So you see it coming too. One of our live at holes is the 12th. And so here we go. We're going to go on up to the 12th. And these people have been sitting here at the green at the 12th for hours waiting on Tiger to come through. And I'm always in front of them. So, I'm 100 yards or so in front of the players. And so here I come, and I try to find one spot where I can stand where I'm not blocking anybody. And sometimes you can't. In major championships, you just can't. You just have to get in front of somebody, and you try to get down, and they're going to get annoyed. And then I have to point down the fairway to them. I was like, look down there, because there's 50 more people inside the ropes down there that are way back there lagging with the players.
Exactly.
And they're all going to stand in front of you. So that's my least favorite part of it, because I know these people. The best part about golf is that you can get right next to these players, and you can until the press corps comes through, and then they're going to get right next to the players.
Right.
So everything else about it's great. I don't have that here when I'm sitting in a tower or when I'm sitting in a, a broadcast location. So really, all the jobs are cool. I don't care what spot I'm in.
It the thing you guys have done so well is really be able to educate all of us on the way they play a hole versus the way we may play it. Thinking about, especially yesterday, I remember Justin Rose choosing to lay up on 16. And
Yeah, he had to lay up. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
And talking about how we as amateurs will probably end up hitting a 3-wood and just try and hit it as far as we can versus Justin Rose, who's choosing a specific distance for his third shot. And,
it was a front flag, so you didn't want to be over the back of that green, even if you could be. Yeah.
And it's just, it's those are the things I hope the listeners pick up from what you guys do, because, you know, more than it, those are the kind of things I love to talk about with golfers when I'm playing golf with players is, you know, they'll play a hole and they'll always hit a driver. They'll always hit this on the par five. They're always hitting a 3-wood for their second shot. And I'm going, wait a minute, you know, pick a distance you love and get to that distance, whether it's for your third shot or your fourth shot.
And it's very smart, and a lot of televised golf focuses on the spectacular. You know, they focus on the 7-iron that went 220 yards, and they focus on the 3-wood that went 270 yards, and they focus on the really difficult high-risk shots that generally get pulled off, and they don't focus on the run-of-the-mill shots where you and I are going to lose all of our strokes. And there are on-course reporters out there that will exaggerate distances, they'll exaggerate difficulties, you know, because you're trying to put on a good show. But you're right, that's not what professional golf is made of. These guys didn't get out here hitting those types of shots. They got out here by not making bogeys.
You know, Brian.
They got out here by being able to make par from anywhere.
Right.
How much wind do you have there so far this morning?
Today is going to be a big deal. It's already blowing, and it's going to be, we're going to get sustained winds into the 20s, and all we're hoping for is that they keep playing golf. It was probably a coin toss whether they should have gone early. 50-50 chance of thunderstorms starting at 4 o'clock. So, and as you know, thunderstorms, we can play through wind, but thunderstorms are the badness. We don't care about the rain, but the lightning will stop us.
I know you got to get back. I want to ask you one last quick question. Is this the kind of day where we may see another Boo Weekly kind of thing, where somebody sitting at 6 or 7 under par could post a number because they're further back in the field or not?
Oh, absolutely, it's that kind of day. You're right, Stephen. A good round today is going to turn into a great round because of the conditions. So, and all these guys think they can do it. So
right.
You go out there and shoot 68 today, that's going to look like a 66 or a 65 by the time the day's over with.
All right, folks, you can listen to Brian Katrick, PGAtour.com, live streaming of the golf course. Of course, you're not going to do that till 10. You're going to turn it down, watch it, and then you can turn it back up at 10 and watch Brian and listen to Brian Katrick. Brian, thanks so much again for Thursday and Friday. It was such a treat to do your show and anytime, and I can't thank you enough for coming on my show.
Oh, you got it. Thanks for doing it. We're lucky to have you be able to jump in there. Great job this past week. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian. Take care. All right, that's Brian Katrick. Next up, we're going to let Tim Cusick say that name one more time. This is the Golfers Home, 1190 AM.
Oh, God.
We're still rolling, though, because Stephen had to run to the restroom. He's got something caught in his throat.
We don't have a break.
The name of the Malaysian Open winner today was Karadec Afra Barnrat, and he shot 13 under for 54 holes. Stephen didn't think I could say that, but no problem in saying it. We've got a couple more minutes before we go.
I apologize. I thought we had another break to do.
We have a couple more minutes before we go to break.
Sorry, bud.
You know, we haven't talked at all about really, you know, what Tiger's done so far this week in terms of his his play. It's not fairway and greens. He's hit enough good shots, certainly hit enough good shots. But, you know, when you take 24 putts, which he took yesterday, and I believe he had 18 of them inside of 20 feet, and he made 17 of them. And so, you know, when you putt like that, you don't have to be your best hitting it. Now, he's hit enough good shots, that is for sure. But to take 24 putts on the heels of 2 weeks ago when he was at Doral and took 100 putts to win, which I think is the lowest number of putts he's ever taken for a win, he has found something with his putting for sure. And he's always said that he likes the greens in Florida. He likes the pure Bermuda, not much grain in them, verticut, you know, over the West Coast, Poana. And he is putting some kind of – he's putting on a show with his putter. The other thing that he's doing better is his wedge play. And, you know, in 2011, amidst a swing change coming back from, you know, his hiatus from golf – he was from 50 to 125 feet on shot link for the year in 2011. He was 100 and 63rd. And his average was 21 feet. And that's it. That's a yardage that he would just eat up. He was number one for a number of years in that distance. And then last year he improved a little bit to 83rd. And he was his average was 18 and a half feet. And now so far this year he's improved up all the way up to 13th.
Wow.
And now his average is 15 feet from the hole. So in 2 years' time, he's gained 6 feet. From where he was, and that's, we just heard Brian Katrick say, from 6 feet, you're 50-50 on the tour. You know, that's one of the reasons why he's making more putts.
But that's also an important point, the 50-50. Again, we watch on Saturdays and Sundays, and we watch these leaders because that's what NBC and CBS want to show us, and they're making 90% of the six-footers.
Right.
That's what they're making.
Right.
That was the difference between Justin yesterday, Rose, and Justin earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. Number one, there is some luck in this game. Tiger Woods hit a very bad golf shot. I want to say maybe on 12 or 13. It hit a tree, luckily, and didn't go out of bounds.
Right, correct. Was out of bounds and stayed in bounds.
Exactly. No question. The ball was going out of bounds.
Sure.
The announcers were saying the ball's out of bounds.
Yeah.
Justin Rose hits a shot 2 holes later. Same kind of shot. His ball does not hit the tree and goes out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is luck involved in the misses you make. And that's why you play your misses more than you play your makes. The other thing, the difference is that on Friday, I think Justin had 24 putts.
Yes.
Maybe even 23. I don't remember. It was one of those two. And yesterday, he did not have 24 putts.
No, I think he still had 28, but he didn't hit it very good on the last 12 holes. He said that he didn't feel good. He didn't know if it was he ate something or whatever, but he lost his legs on the last 12 holes after having a strong start. And
my point is, even at 28, and you always want to be under 30. 30
sure,
is the magical number.
It,
but
yeah.
Even at 28, if Tiger's making 24 putts and you're making 28 putts,
yeah,
that's the difference.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And when we've seen, obviously, in the past, when Tiger gets on a roll with a putter, that's when the rest of the tour, you know, has to start playing for second place. And right now, you know, we're sitting there. The weather can make a huge difference today. Certainly he and Ricky are the last ones off at 140. And there's guys that are on the course right now, so someone could go out there with the conditions, maybe not as difficult, post something, 64, 65, whatever it is, get to 5, 6, 7. You don't think that Tiger's going to shoot 4 over, but depending on how the weather is, you never know.
I mean, let's say, it could get back to 9.
Sure.
It could very easily get back to 9. It could easily get to 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing, what's interesting is that, like, between Thursday and Friday, Tiger Woods had gone 5 straight bogeys. He went eagle, bogey, bogey, and then bogey, bogey, bogey on 16, 17, and 18 Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. He made 5 straight bogeys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he was ruining his rounds. And then on Saturday, he eagles 16, which is not really a par 5. I mean, let's basically say it's not a par 5. Mm-hmm. When you're hitting a 7-iron into it. And then but the big important part for him was parring 17 and 18. 17 and 18 is where you're definitely going to lose strokes on this golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And if you play those holes at even par, you are gaining strokes on the course.
Especially where the pins will be today. I mean,
right.
You know, it's back right on 18 and most likely there on 17 as well.
To update you just a little bit on where guys are at, Stewart Cink is at 2 under par through 6 holes. Let me rephrase that. Stewart Cink is through 8 holes. And also Chad Campbell is 2 under par through 7 holes. Did you see that the thing between Chad Campbell and, I don't remember who he was playing with yesterday, where the guy he's playing with, I'm sorry, I cannot remember who it was. The guy he is playing with hits a shot from maybe 70 yards. It hits in the hole, bounces out, and rolls 40 feet from the flag.
No, I missed it.
Chad Campbell, who was a yard in front of him.
Okay.
And this guy's standing there screaming, cussing, doing whatever.
Right.
Campbell hits a shot. It 2 bounces into the hole for eagle.
Wow. Loosened it up for him.
Then this guy rolls in his 40-footer from off the green. To make his birdie so that, you know, but still, I mean, literally went into the bottom of the cup and bounced out and went 40 feet away.
Wow. Wow. We got a couple other guys that are under par. Charlie Belgian and Harris English are both 2-under after 8 holes as well.
Harris English can play, can't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's a player.
He is a birdie machine. You know, every once in a while you get someone that comes out on tour from college that has just in college shot some ridiculously low scores. And Harris English is one of those guys. Lee Westwood is climbing up the leaderboard. He's 3-under after 5. Which gets him to 1-under par for the tournament. He's got a ways to go, but certainly playing very, very well this morning.
Right, and that's the important thing right now for Lee Westwood is I don't know if he's playing next week. I'll check on the top of the hour break if he's playing next week in Houston. But, you know, this is for many of these guys, this is the last round. It was Graham Dillette who Bradley Houck was kind enough to just text me. It was Graham Dillette who hit the ball into the bottom of the hole, and it was just God, you should have seen him. I thought he was going to have a heart attack in the fairway. He couldn't believe that ball bounced 40 feet away from the hole.
But then he makes it
slam dunk, and then he made the putt. That was the great part.
Got some justice.
Yeah, but this is an important round of golf for Lee Westwood, being in his hometown now.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of family, lots of friends, and I just think this is a very important round for him leading into Augusta.
Well, he's played some good rounds at Augusta too, and
right.
You know what we'll get Lee is, you know, his short game. He'll hit it like no other man, and you need to hit it good at Augusta, but you need to short game it. That is for sure. And you know, Tiger putting the way that he's putting right now, he's got to be just licking his chops. You know. For a couple weeks from now for Augusta, because that's really what's held him back in the last 7 or 8 years in terms of being able to win that event is his putting.
So it's interesting, having moved everything around a little bit, you go Shell.
Then we go to San Antonio.
Then you go to San Antonio,
right.
And then you go to Augusta. So we're still 13 days away, 14 mm-hmm. days away from Augusta. But mm-hmm. I want to see whether or not Lee is playing in...
You know, and what Shell typically does at their golf course at Redstone is they get the exact amount of overseed that Augusta throws on their course, and they get the conditions as close to they can to what Augusta will have in terms of the speed of their greens and the amount of rough, the amount of overseed in the fairways, and the level of cut around the greens, the fringe. To allow those players, obviously, to try and entice their field to get a better field, you'll get a lot of Europeans that'll come over and test that, get comfortable with the time change, and it'll be interesting to see what San Antonio does this year at the TPC course down there the week before Augusta.
And we'll check the full field and see if who's playing in it. But the important thing is that because of that, a lot of guys use that as the warm. Rory McIlroy going to play. Next week
he's playing in Houston.
Show.
Yes, yeah, and I think he's already in Houston. He's been spending some time with Dave Stockton, working on his putting and maybe a little bit of his short game. As we've said before,
and
on
also
the show,
Jordan will be playing there as an exempt player.
Yep. Jordan Spieth, off his top 10 finish in Tampa, is in the field, and I believe he's in the field in San Antonio as well. And so, hey, you never know, a win. A win would get him into Augusta, wouldn't it?
I don't think so.
No? Is it shut off after
this
week?
I think it shuts off after this week.
After this week?
I will double-check that on the break also. But Lee Westwood is playing in Houston. All right. We're going to be joined by Rex Hoggard in just a minute, and I'm going to go on to my soapbox. I have a very specific feeling about the Olympics, which Tim knows, and how I think we need to use the Olympics to grow the game of golf. I think that's extremely important. We're going to do that next here. 9 holes down, 9 holes to play. This is the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. A winter storm warning has been issued for a large part of Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana as a huge winter storm moves east today. Meteorologist Nicole Masensik with NBC affiliate WTHR is tracking the potential snowfall in Indiana.
We are looking at a band of about
5 to 10 inches of snow. That 10-inch total as of right now looks likely right along the I-70 corridor.
Southern states are also bracing for bad weather, not snow, but as we hear from the Weather Channel's Dr. Greg Forbes, there's a chance of thunderstorms and tornadoes.
The main threat, southeast parts of Georgia, down into north and central parts of Florida.
Secretary of State John Kerry has stopped off in Baghdad for some unscheduled diplomacy. He urged Iraqi leaders to stop Iranian air flights over Iraq with arms for Syria. No agreement yet on a plan to raise the money Cyprus needs to qualify for a bailout package. Meetings are underway right now in Brussels. This is NBC News Radio. A new $12 million television ad campaign from Mayors Against Illegal Guns will push senators in key states to back gun control efforts. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg predicted that today on NBC's Meet the Press.
I don't think there's ever been an issue where the public has spoken so clearly, where Congress hasn't eventually understood and done the right thing.
But you don't think the assault weapons ban is going to pass?
Well, look, we've been fighting since 2007 to get a vote. We are going to have a vote for sure on assault weapons, and we're going to have a vote on background checks.
Senate Democrats say they don't have the votes to restore a ban on assault-style weapons. And in New Jersey, a winning Powerball ticket was sold for last night's drawing, the jackpot $338 million. The New Jersey Lottery Office says it won't reveal any details about the winning ticket until tomorrow. 13 other tickets sold in 11 states are worth $1 million each. I'm Alex Witt, NBC News Radio.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low energy? Or what about sleeplessness, low libido, and fat storage, especially around the belly area? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it'll be practically impossible to get rid of these problems. But you're in luck because Ambrin is the all-natural formula clinically shown to cause sustained weight loss in women over 40 with no big change in lifestyle. Ambrin restores hormonal balance in women over 40, so the extra pounds fall away and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first 50 callers right now at 1-800-663-2773. Free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-663-2773. That's 1-800-663-2773.
A sick employee can be disruptive if you run a small business. A sick computer, even more so. Three-quarters of small business owners surveyed for Brother International say that a crashed computer is worse for business than a sick employee. And 86% experienced technology failures in the past year that hurt productivity.
They're missing deadlines or they're missing business opportunities.
John Wandishin, marketing VP for Brother International.
The depth of the feeling is brought out when close to a third are saying that they would even give up a week's worth of vacation to ensure that their stuff doesn't malfunction.
This year's survey also finds a big jump in small businesses planning to invest more in tech, from 38% to 52%.
Technology is very empowering to the small business person to allow them to continue doing what they need to do every day. We really see the effects of it when it doesn't work because you start to rely on it so much.
I'm Tracy Jahnke from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Leukemia, Cancer, and AIDS doesn't care if you're young or old, rich or poor, a country star or a fan. The fact is, we all know someone whose life has been turned upside down by these devastating diseases. We are
Lady Antebellum.
Won't you join us in supporting the T.J. Martell Foundation in their quest to find a cure?
Your support helps doctors and scientists in their groundbreaking research, which will bring us closer to a world free of leukemia, cancer, and AIDS.
Visit tjmartell.org to find out how you can help Music Bring Hope.
So what do you mean our computer's running slow?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
Well, computers don't just slow down on their own. Did you open any attachments?
Yes.
Play any games?
Yes.
Share photos, pay bills, browse the web?
Yes, yes, and yes.
And you want to know what do I mean when I say what do you mean? I mean you're the one slowing down our computer.
Oh, well, that's just mean.
If your computer is running slow, don't point fingers. Solve your slow computer problems at cleanpcnow.com, a new way to keep your computer running at its top speed. First, go to cleanpcnow.com to download a free diagnostic, and in minutes, we can find out what's slowing down your computer. Then you can easily buy Clean PC Now software to optimize your computer's performance. And with Clean PC Now, there's an honest-to-goodness live person available to answer your questions. CleanPCNow.com means an end to bringing someone into your home to fix your computer. Go to CleanPCNow.com today and get your free diagnostic. That's CleanPCNow.com. First we screen it, then we clean it. CleanPCNow.com.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
Nine holes down and nine holes to play. It's the backside of the golfer's home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
Welcome back to the golfer's home with Stephen Gribben. And checking during the break at the Shell Houston Open, they have a pretty decent field that's going to be part of that tournament next week. Obviously, the big name is Rory McIlroy that is going to he's committed to play in that event. The defending champion is Hunter Mahan. He is in the field as well as Louis Oosthuizen, Phil Mickelson,
is
Lee Westwood.
Is the Rat playing?
Corey Pavin?
No, the Rat.
Oh, no, he's not playing.
Go ahead. We're going to do this with Rex now. Rex Hoggard is joining us, Timmy. And we want Rex Hoggard to tell us the champion of the Malaysian, the Maybank Malaysian Open, the European Tour event that just concluded. The winner was Rex?
Oh, you got me on that one, Greg. Are you serious? Are you seriously going to bring
me the first name, Karadek.
Tiger Woods in the lead, in a commanding lead, and asked me who won in Malaysia. I didn't even know they were playing golf in Malaysia.
No, we know, we know who it is. We just want to know who have you pronounce it.
Oh, okay. Really?
It is Karadek.
Appa Barn Rat.
Appa Barn Rat.
That's awesome.
Appa Barn Rat.
Have you heard of him?
Yes, I've heard of him. Can you imagine that name getting announced?
It doesn't roll off your tongue, that's for sure. It's not like saying John Huh.
Four, please. Now playing
the Rat. Okay, so it's pretty simple. Before we get to Tiger, let's get to Ricky. Ricky leaves the golf course yesterday thinking he's going to play with somebody he's probably never even met. And 2 hours later, he's playing with someone who could be the number one player in the world tomorrow, a guy the last time he played with him, he shot 84. Is this round way more important for Ricky than it is for Tiger, or vice versa?
I think it's a good round for Ricky. I mean, Tiger has done it here before. He did it yesterday on Saturday and put himself firmly in the position he wants to be. He's going for win number 8 at Bay Hill. He's going for his third win of the year. For Tiger, this is something of old hat. I don't want to dismiss a victory. You never want to discount a victory. For Ricky, it's huge. I mean, Ricky has not been off to the best of season this year. After getting the win last year at Quail, it seemed like he kind of dropped off. We heard about injuries after the fact, and I think this is going to be a big day for Ricky. I don't know if you can run down Tiger Woods on this golf course, but I think he's looking forward to the challenge, and that's half the battle right there.
And with the, you know, I've been saying for the last hour that I wonder whether or not we'll have another Boo Weekly kind of situation today because the weather is coming in. And, you know, you look now and there's some guys at 3 under par through 5 or 6 or 7 holes. If somebody could post a number, and I mean like a 9 or a 10 under par, there's a chance this afternoon it could get pretty ugly. And who knows, you know, if there's some movement going backwards on the leaderboard.
It could. It depends on how the golf course is played. Now, the golf course has been soft all week.
Right.
So that factors into it. This isn't like it was last year, you remember, on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
The golf course had been very dry all week, and then suddenly we had some pretty insane winds come up in the final round. So I think that kind of threw things sideways last year. It could, and certainly Tiger proved on Friday that he is not infallible here. I mean, bogeying the last three on Friday, I think actually was sort of a wake-up call for him. But I think that you'd have to end up with conditions that we don't have right now to get that sort of two-way traffic going down the leaderboard.
Talk a little bit about the importance of this round four. I mean, I think it's actually Lee Westwood who's either three.
He was three under after five.
Yeah. There's some people playing today that it's important that they put together, even though they're not going to win this event, that they put together some good rounds just for that kind of feeling as we get 2 weeks from Augusta.
Well, yeah, I think Lee is one of those guys. I thought it was interesting. Golf Digest came out with their sort of top five contenders at Augusta, and it was interesting that Lee made the list.
Right.
Louis made the list, maybe rightfully so for both those guys, but you didn't end up with the guys maybe you expected to. Brad Snedeker was sort of on the outside on that list. But, yeah, I think it's a big week for Lee. I think you pointed out the field next week in Houston, if I'm not mistaken. Lee's in that field.
Right, he is. I checked.
Snedeker is as well.
You know what? The bigger litmus test for me, and I wrote this on Friday, and I know it's sort of ancient history at this point, was it's where is Phil Mickelson's game right now after that round that he had on Friday, and where is his head going into the major that really seems to suit him the best?
You know, you and I have discussed this now for 2 years, and I think, I just personally believe, and we're never going to know because he will not talk about it. I just personally believe, and I know you don't, that his illness affects him way more than he's letting on. That there are weeks when he is in, I know the illness. I know it really well. And I think there are weeks that he is just in a lot more pain than he's letting on. And I think that that affects his practice time. I think it affects his playing. And I think there's a lot more to this illness than he's letting on. I could be totally wrong, but it's my feeling about it because I do know the illness really well.
No, I'm not against you on this at all, Grip. I think there is really something to that. I mean, in having an opportunity to spend some time over the last few weeks with Phil and his trainer, simply because I'm working on another story about sort of, you know, how guys get more physically fit. I mean, it's worth pointing out that in the last year and a half, Phil's lost about 25 pounds.
Right.
He has slimmed down. And a lot of that has to do with a better diet. A lot of it has to do with he has become much more intense when it comes to his workout regimen. But no, I think there's something to that. He's never told me as much, but there's certainly something to the idea that, look, you simply can't practice as much as you used to. Now, whether or not if that's the arthritis, which is clearly a difficult disease to deal with, or if that's just a fact of getting old. Let's face it, I don't like to go out and hit golf balls anymore because I'm 45 years old, Grip.
I hear you. I do. As you look moving forward now, are there names that you want to add to the list that were not on the list at the start of the year for Augusta? I think there's some names we're taking off the list. I don't think there's any question about that. Guys who we expected to be playing better this year who are not. But are there any guys you want to add to the list going into Augusta?
I would probably flip two names just off the top of my head. I don't know that, and I know Rory had a good finish at Doral, but given the fact that he didn't add to his schedule, given the fact that he's going to a place that doesn't tolerate a lot of misses, and there were still a lot of misses in Rory McIlroy's
Correct.
Game on Sunday at Doral. I'd probably take him off the list, at least in the short term. I'm not saying that I would completely dismiss him, but the fact is I don't think his game or his swing or his bag, whatever the case may be, is in the perfect shape. And we just mentioned this guy's name. I don't know if he really was off anybody's list, but if you were coming up with a top five, so to speak, I think Brad Snedeker is someone to watch, even coming off the injury, simply because he's played well at Augusta before. He is one of the game's top putters, and last I checked, that was the game's top putting contest. So I like Brant.
You do. You think that he's going to be able to get the game back and get himself there. See, I'm one of the people that is taking him off the list. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Just having watched his golf swing this week, I just wondered if there is still pain or if he's been able to practice as much as he needed to going into this event. And can you get it back in 2 weeks of really working your butt off if there is been really made more issue than he's let on also?
I think there's been a lot more practice than anybody really knows.
Okay.
He could have played in Tampa. I mean, he didn't want to make that public, but I mean, I think he was plenty healthy enough. He
okay.
had spent enough time on the range.
Gotcha.
Up the island. And I don't think it's an issue. They didn't find anything. They did a complete head-to-toe body scan. They didn't find anything wrong with him. I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is a strain that all players get.
Right.
So, lacking a serious injury that was going to take more time, I do think he turns it around, but less so about the things that you just mentioned, and more so about the fact that he's playing with a confidence now that he simply has never had in his career before.
There's no doubt about that.
And next week will be a big test, too, because he's in the field for Houston. The course will be set up very similar to Augusta. And now that he's played, you know, he missed a cut at Bay Hill, but got his feet wet again. And he'll have his serious game face on next week, I will feel.
Well, and again, I think this goes back to he's a guy that always kind of considered himself a very good putter and not the world's best ball striker. And I think that sort of self-view has changed dramatically since specifically the end of last year, you know, getting picked for the Ryder Cup team, validating it, so to speak, by winning and doing what he did in the FedEx Cup playoffs, playing the way he did at Medina, all these sort, and then, of course, the way he opened up this season. I think all these things add up. And he has an affinity for Augusta that rivals Phil Mickelson. It does not overtake Phil at this point.
Right.
But by my estimate, Brant will play 3 or 4 practice rounds before he actually goes down Magnolia Lane for the Masters in 2 weeks.
Watson and Ricky headed over there. That had to have been probably fun.
Isn't it always fun with Bubba? You know what? One of the preview stories I'm working on going into the Masters this year, and I think you'll find this interesting, is just sort of breaking down the shot. I'm talking about, of course, the 9-iron from, you know, 100 and whatever yards it was, that curved whatever, 60, 70 yards out of the trees on the second playoff hole. And I'm sort of getting it from everybody's different perspective, whether it's Bubba or the caddy.
That's cool.
Or Ricky, who was standing behind
the green, yeah.
And Aaron Baddeley, who was standing behind the 10th green, and Bing Crane, and all these guys who had actually got into their street clothes to leave the property and didn't realize that Bubba was in the mix, had to go back, change, put the golf gear back on, and walk out to the 10th green to watch the finish. It's fascinating to me that he is the type of guy that needed that sort of situation to win a major. He probably could not have done that standing in the middle of the 18th fairway during the 72nd hole.
I agree with you completely. And there's a study that was actually done that shows that it's easier to pull off a hard shot when you are nervous than to hit a shot you're used to hitting. Because the concentration level changes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly.
The best part is I asked his caddy, and I go, you know, rank this in the pantheon of shots. You've watched Bubba play a lot of golf, seen him hit a lot of great shots. Rank it, you know, where you feel like it falls. And he goes, it was the third best shot that week.
Wow.
It
just meant the most, that's all.
You know what, I think Bubba goes back. I think going back for the first time is probably going to be a little overwhelming.
Yep.
I wouldn't put him on my short list of contenders. But I got out of the Bubba doubting business last year when he won at Augusta, and I'm not going to get back in that business. I mean, I'm never going to completely dismiss him.
I totally agree with you. You know, you just never know. You never know at all. All right, tell me the conditions right now. Is it getting colder? Is it getting windier? When do they expect the thunderstorms to hit, if they're going to?
It's going to be later in the afternoon. Right now, it's relatively warm. The winds are coming up, a little bit of cloud cover. Again, the green's going to be soft, so that sort of favors Tiger. I mean, unless you can end up with a guy like Boo Weekly, what he did last week in Tampa, who can go out and throw a 64 and go sit in the clubhouse and see what happens. It's going to be hard to run this guy down today on this particular golf course because it's soft. He can be aggressive. And I pointed this out earlier in the week when you and I talked, I think, Friday morning. On Thursday, here's the key element for me. He hit, the 5 times he hit driver on Thursday, he hit 4 or 5 fairways. When Tiger is playing from the short grass using his driver, that he's very tough to beat.
Absolutely. Now, yesterday, you were saying, Tim, he didn't hit it very well at all.
He missed 8 straight fairways, I think, yesterday. And right now he's the 77 players that made the cut, he is 75th in driving accuracy.
Well, and I brought this up in my Friday column, and I think it's fascinating because, Grib, you've heard this. You heard it from Hank quite a bit, that sort of how those stats are skewed.
Exactly.
When it comes to Tiger Woods, because of his club head speed, because of, and I had Sean Foley explain this to me, that because of the fact that he does not spin his driver as much as most guys do. He ranks 170-something in spin rate, which means it's going to curve more.
Exactly.
And so all these things sort of factor in. If he misses a fairway by 10 yards, it's maybe a 1-degree miss. I mean, I tried to explain that in Friday's column just because it's fascinating to me that we've always sort of camped on the fact that he's not driving the ball well, when in fact that when you look at the lengths he hits it, he's probably one of the best drivers of the ball in the game.
Exactly. And I love to use the funnel the funnel example all the time. It just, it's so easy to use that 2% in one spot is different than 2% 100 yards down the fairway. It's just, it's just different. That's the concept of the funnel. As we go through this, if you look behind, give me one player that's down the leaderboard a little bit that you might see going low today, or you might think about going back up the board. Is Justin Rose capable of doing that, or not?
Rose was going to be, Rose would be the guy that I would pick, simply because he played so flawless for 2 days.
Right.
And I know he probably didn't finish Friday like he wanted to. And, you know, it's fascinating to me, and I heard this comment early in the week on Tuesday or Wednesday, standing on the range hitting golf balls, and a colleague of mine on the Golf Channel said, of all the guys that Sean Foley works with, Rose is the guy that really got the most out of the swing. Sean has really turned Rose into who maybe a pedestrian ball striker.
Absolutely.
Into one of the game's premier ball strikers. And I think if everything else falls into place, he is the guy that would not flinch. So he's the guy I expect to make a move.
I appreciate it. Hey, Rexy, thanks so much for joining us here. And anytime, I just appreciate it so much what you do for me and for all of golf. I thank you so much for joining us here on the Golfer's Home.
Thanks, Griff. Thanks, bud. See you, bud.
All right, talk to you next week. That's Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. Next up, I will give you my idea for the Olympics. I'm saving my public apology till after you leave. Or
okay.
Maybe we'll do that too next. That's the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
Is your smartphone naked? It is if it doesn't have the iHeartRadio app on. With the iHeartRadio app, your smartphone can get 1,500 live radio stations. It can make custom music stations. It can even use the Perfect For feature. Perfect for any activity. But without the iHeartRadio app, your smartphone is just, well, naked. Dress it up. Download the free app now at iHeartRadio.com. iHeartRadio is now available on Roku.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams, thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Ah, the sound of small business, getting busier. Can you tell which one is using AT&T? Truth is, they all are. Because businesses of all kinds can find AT&T customizable plans that fit their exact needs. Whether it's broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice, at AT&T, we can help your business get humming.
I need more receipt paper, please.
Call 1-855-877-4288 today and ask about special offers available for new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
I wanted to be in the military since I was a kid.
I served in the United States Air Force.
I served a total of 16 years.
I was deployed 13 times.
On my second deployment, 4 bombs hit my vehicle.
And at 19 years old, that's the first time I ever saw somebody die.
Coming back, I was raging.
I started having pretty horrible nightmares.
I would wake up in the middle of the night, sweats.
I started drinking a lot.
I felt worthless.
I guess I never recognized it in myself.
Eventually, one day, I just walked into the VA hospital and said I'd like to see somebody.
Don't suffer alone. You got to find that link with somebody that'll make you let it go.
It all starts with going to the VA. There's a whole community of veterans that just want to help you out.
It's for the guys who couldn't come back, so you owe it to them to live well, because they're not here with their families.
Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
Hi, we're talking to real smokers about quitting. Tell me when you smoke and why you smoke.
Eat, cigarette, kids, cigarette, dinner, another cigarette.
One on my way to lunch, one after lunch.
And another cigarette, and another cigarette.
Have you tried to quit?
Yes. I become angry.
It ain't that easy. You can't just quit cold turkey. I tried.
What would you do different?
Actually having a plan and thinking it through.
You have to relearn how to live your life without a cigarette in your hand.
With the right plan, you can quit smoking. Free at becomeanx.org. X, a new way to think about quitting. Brought to you by X and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388,
or log on to money-sense.com.
Minutes after the hour, this is Stephen Gribben. He's Tim Cusick from the Four Seasons Resort and Club.
Way to go, Stephen. There you go. Give me a little sound off there.
Say the rat.
Karadek? F a barn rat. I'm going to become his publicist.
I think you should. All right, so let's talk. First, we'll talk Olympics, talk Ryder Cup. Well, let's talk Ryder Cup first. Watson comes out, does a press conference this week. It was supposed to be a major announcement. I didn't think it was such a major announcement that he's going to have three picks instead of four. Any thoughts?
Well, the players, I think, kind of like it because it allows them to, you know, to play for another spot. And my understanding was that if that was the case this past year, then Hunter Mahan would have been on the team. Not that that would have made a difference or not made a difference, but I think that it takes some of the pressure off of the captain, and I don't know if that's what he's looking to do or not do. I think maybe he's just looking for the best players that are playing the best, the hottest at that point, to be on the team.
It's going to be interesting. If he doesn't win, I keep going back to if he doesn't win, what happens? I love the idea of adding Canada to the American team, but that's just me.
You know,
it's never going to happen. But
since last fall, I think when Tommy Gainey won, late in the fall, we have not had anyone but an American win on the PGA Tour. Right. I think it's 14 straight weeks.
Well, it's 12-0 this year.
Yeah, and so it's amazing how the Europeans find a way. They don't care if they're underdogs, favorites, whatever it is. They've got the formula that allows them to get through those 3 days.
Well, and how can they be considered underdogs? That's what I don't understand. You go to the Ryder Cup. How can they be considered underdogs?
Well, it won't be in 2 years, that's for sure. They will not be. They will not be. You know, you go to Scotland, Muirfield. They've wore us out for the last 15 years, and they will not be considered underdogs. I don't care what happens in golf.
Oh, they'll figure out a way to promote themselves as the underdogs.
Yeah. Oh, sure, sure. But that will not happen.
All right. So I was totally opposed to golf in the Olympics. Totally. I would fight about it for hours with other media guys, just against it. Think that, you know, we get enough golf 365 days a year between satellite, dish, cable, everything, all over the world, people get to watch golf. I hate that we did it. It takes away softball. Women's softball is no longer in the Olympics, which I just cannot believe. I think the Olympics is for sports that need that
amateur
kind of promotional
sports.
Stuff.
Amateur sports.
Once every 4 years. But for some reason, they felt they needed it for the growth of the game. So now that it's happening, I got no choice but to say it's happening. But I want to use it for the growth of the game. That's not another WGC event.
No, it shouldn't be.
Okay. So what I would like to see happen is them create a team event.
You're talking about the United States or the Olympics
in general?
The Olympic
Committee.
Okay.
Create a team event that pulls one professional, one woman, whether professional or amateur, and one amateur player and play a team event.
Like the World Amateur.
I'm so sick of if first of all, you're not going to have more than two players per country, most likely. I don't think. If you do, then it's going to be an American event or a European event. But I would like to see a team event, and let's promote all of golf. Let's promote amateur golf. let's promote women's golf. That's the only way I see this working at all to help the game of golf.
Well, it will be interesting to see. Hopefully it doesn't turn into the Walker Cup or the Ryder Cup of 25 years ago where players would qualify and say, no, nah, you know what, I'm taking
there's a very good possibility that can happen. You know, I don't know. They still haven't come up with the format.
Right.
They just finally started the golf course this week.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how they set this up.
And that comes from the Olympic Committee. That doesn't come from the PGA Tour. That doesn't come from the RNA. That doesn't come from the USGA. Certainly, I'm sure they'll get their feedback, but it comes from the Olympic Committee.
The other part, and the last part in this discussion, is I'm still trying to get a fix. And again, you know, I was against anchoring. I was against the long putter because I believed it was against the rules. Even when it wasn't against the rules, I believed it was against the rules. But I've really gone 180 degrees on this. When I saw the numbers between 2010 and 2011, there were a whole lot less rounds in 2011 over 2010. And I think we need to do anything we can to make this game easier and more fun. And if that includes anchoring a putter, it includes anchoring a putter. And I just am at a loss to understand where the RNA and the USGA think that they are helping the game of golf by creating a rule that basically only deals with the top one-millionth percent of those of us that play golf, and that being the professionals.
Well, that's the PGA of America's, you know, that's their stance on this whole scenario, is that they are in charge, the PGA of America is in charge with growing the game of golf. And look at all the stats that you want to look at. Me being a PGA member, every day that I'm on this planet, part of my duty is to help try and grow the game, whether it's keeping someone in the game by playing better or enjoying themselves more, or bringing someone new into the game to enjoy how great this game can be. And, you know, now you have a possibility of this type of rule come down that pushes people that love the game of golf, potentially pushes them out of the game because they don't get the enjoyment because they can't use the club that they were able to use for the last 15 years.
I am a perfect example of this. There ain't nobody better at this example than me. I mean, I literally stopped playing golf because when I got the yips, I mean, literally, if I tried to putt a ball, it was going to miss by 2 feet. Not a 6-inch, not an inch, 2 feet. I could not control my left hand on the putter. And why should they make a rule? Because I want to play golf by the rules. Why should they make a rule that's going to inhibit me from being able to have fun out playing the game of golf?
Well, that's where we stand right now.
But I can't get a fix on the purpose of the rule.
The purpose of the rule is for the PGA Tour.
But isn't the USGA and the RNA responsible for the rules of golf, not for the rules of
yes,
the PGA Tour
correct.
Golf?
Correct. And this was never an issue until Keegan Bradley won at DAC or at AAC, Atlanta Athletic Country Club. It was never an issue, never brought up, never publicly mentioned. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start to hear this over the course of 2 years and. You know, you got Ernie Els that wins, and you've got Webb Simpson that wins, and Keegan Bradley wins, and now all of a sudden, you know, you have where we are now.
I just can't get a fix on how this works. I know you got to go. You're going to go teach. Thanks so much for coming in.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Anytime. We'll see you next week. I just cannot get a fix on where the USGA and the RNA are they're understanding in this. And if anybody has a feeling about this, please call me because I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed to understand why the USGA and the RNA feel this responsibility for something it's not going to help the professional game, and it's only going to hurt all the rest of us. 214-787-1190, 214-787-1190. Somebody tell me where they're coming off with this. Is it anchoring a club? Yeah, it is. But who cares? if it makes the game easier for all of us. And I'm telling you now, I don't think the tour is going to bifurcate. But is it better to make rules for the 1/1,000,000th percent that hurts the other 99.999% of us? Or are we better off making rules for the 99.999% of us that may have issues with the best players in the world? It's like the rollback of the golf ball. Guys, you don't need to roll back the golf ball for me. I don't hit it that far. Most of us don't hit it that far. The ball needs to be rolled back for the tour players. But if you roll the ball back and you say, okay, the rule is this now, and you roll the ball back, is it going to make the game that much harder? Yes. Are people going to stop playing the game? Three reasons people stop playing the game. Money, it's too hard, it takes too long. That's all it is. So we got to learn to speed up the game, which we talk about all the time, and we got to make the game less hard. You got to have fun playing the game of golf. And making a rule that the ball's going to be shorter is not going to make it easier for any of us. So I'm perplexed to understand who the USGA and the RNA deem they have responsibility for these rules. There's 25 million of us in America that play this game. There's, what, 1,000 that play it professionally? I don't know. And so we're going to make rules for them that harm us. Unless we want to go out and just play the game however we want, and then we feel guilty doing that. I literally started putting left-handed. I putted left-handed because I felt using a long putter was against the rules, even though it wasn't. I felt it was. I felt it was an anchor. But I stopped playing the game because of my yips. It wasn't fun to not be able to putt a golf ball. And I just can't get a fix on where they're going with these rules. I understand the 34 rules of golf. I don't understand these equipment situations. I don't understand why we make rules because of 250 guys that are playing on the PGA Tour, 200 guys that are playing on the European Tour. We're making rules for 450 people instead of for the 25 million for the betterment of the game. I'm at a loss of that. And I'm going to see if we can get Mike Davis on in the next couple of weeks because I really and truly want to understand this or get someone from the USGA on because I don't get it. We're going to kill the game to try and make the game better or more consistent or harder for the best players in the world because we want to play by the rules. That's the thing about golf. We want to play by the rules. And sure, we all do things differently. How often do you go back and hit and go back to the tee box if you hit a ball out of bounds? Probably not. You probably played as some sort of lateral hazard. So, yeah, we all have different rules. But when it comes to the equipment, I just don't, you know. If they ban the long putter, are you still going to use one? I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe you still will. And it won't matter to you. But it certainly does sound stupid. And I don't know any other way to put it. That we're making rules for 1,000 people that will harm the 25 million of us in this country that play the game. I'm Stephen Gribben. Next up, we'll talk to Uncle Brian. Uncle Ryan, not Brian. We already had Brian Katrick on. We'll talk to Uncle Ryan next here on The Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
Change of life in a big way.
I knew that they wanted Jocelyn to be able to have somebody else to talk to in her life.
I had a big sister before, but she moved.
I wasn't sure if we would bond.
Debbie and I just clicked.
How we would get that connection. I was a little nervous about that.
Like, I just feel like this is going to last a really long time.
But that dissipated pretty quick.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. Start something. And if you have a big experience, share it at BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
I have some exciting news for sports fans out there. Or if you like to go to concerts or theater, this is for you too. I'd love to take my two sons to a football game. But geez, have you seen the prices of those tickets? But I've discovered a new site called scorebig.com. And get this, you can get tickets to NFL, baseball, NBA, always below box office price guaranteed. This scorebig.com grabs unsold tickets and sells them at huge discounts. So you can save up to 60% on VIP tickets. And there's even more exciting news for radio listeners. Go to scorebig.com right now, and you'll get an additional $15 off. That's an extra $15 off already incredibly low-priced tickets. Remember, tickets at scorebig.com are already up to 60% below box office price. And for a limited time, radio listeners get an additional $15 off. But hurry, the only way to get in on this amazing deal is to go to scorebig.com and type in the promo code 6969 at checkout. That's scorebig.com, promo code 6969.
Your ancestors' fascinating immigration stories are available for you to discover for free this weekend only. That's right. TryAncestry.com is extending a rare and limited-time free access weekend. Log on to TryAncestry.com anytime this Thursday through Sunday only, and you will have 100% free access to their immigration collection that includes passports, passenger lists, and even border crossing records. So whether your ancestors' journey began in Ireland, Italy, or even Turkey, you can explore your roots with this free access weekend. It's amazing what you can find that didn't get shared over the years. Don't miss this rare opportunity to search for your ancestors' arrival in America. Absolutely free. Log on to TryAncestry.com anytime this Thursday through Sunday only, March 14th through 17th, and discover something unforgettable and possibly unknown about your family. Hurry, free select access is only for this weekend. Visit TryAncestry.com. That's TryAncestry.com.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This is Pete the Fast Greek, host of Race Talk, the motorsports talk show heard every Saturday live from high noon to 2 p.m. right here on 1190 AM. NASCAR, NHRA, the IndyCar Series, we talk about it all. Plus, we let you know where they're racing right here in the Metroplex. So join me, Pete the Fast Greek, for Race Talk, the motorsports talk show live at high noon right here on 1190 AM and streaming live at iHeartRadio.com, keyword 1190 AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. And remember, keep your racing on the track, not on the street.
Forty-five minutes after the hour, I'm Stephen Gribben. It is the Golfer's Home. Tim Cusick had to leave a couple minutes early to go teach. That's what weather does. Before we get to Uncle Ryan, I do want to say goodbye to Ben Howland at UCLA. I don't think he's going to be returning. And pretty much like we're discussing here with anchoring on the USGA and the RNA, I think it's time for the NBA and the NCAA to get together and do something about the one and done. You talk about ruining a great game. The game of college basketball has been ruined by one and done. No question. Been ruined by one and done. And until the NBA and the NCAA can get together like the NFL and the NCAA did, it's just going to continue this way. And it's, I understand guys want to go make their money, but if they want to go make their money, let them go play some minor league. But, you know, if you could have to wait till your third year in football, I don't know why you can't do something like that in basketball. Anyway, soapbox for the day. All right, we're joined now by Uncle Ryan. And Ryan, you are one of the most rational people I know. You are, no question. So I'm trying to get a fix on why the USGA and the RNA feel they need to do something that will harm the game for the other 25 million of us, because the top 1,000 players in the world seem to be better when they anchor a club, meaning a putter. And so we're going to make a rule for them that's now going to ruin the game for the other 25 million of us. If you take into account the three reasons people quit playing, too hard, too expensive, too slow. Why are they doing this? I am just so perplexed by this. And you know, I started putting left-handed because I was against anchoring putter, even though it wasn't even against the rules. I felt it was. And I've so turned 180 degrees on this because we're making a rule for the tail, and it's going to ruin the rest of the dog, because we all do want to play by the rules.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's hypocritical. I think it's obviously too late for them to approve things like grooves, you know, on the wedges, and then come back and change it, and then approve the use of anchor, you know, the longer putters for, I mean, how long is the
20 years.
Long putter, 20 years?
20 years.
And then they come in and do this. I really don't get it. If anything, I think that, you know, rules in place for technology that's obviously advancing the ball an extra 50 yards. I mean, even 10 years ago, can you imagine people are averaging, what, 330 on the drive?
Well, and that's the point I made, is that the next step, if in fact this is a step to see if the USGA and RNA have the power they think they have with something like this to then start to deal with rolling back the ball, it's again the tail wagging the dog. Yeah. I don't need the ball rolled back. I'm sorry, I don't hit at 330.
Yeah.
So are we going to get to a point where there? I mean, I don't think Tim Finchem is going to set up bifurcated rules. I don't think he's going to change the rules. So why are we why are the people who run the game for all of us ruining the game for 99% or making the game harder for 99.999% of us? Because of that 0.01%. I'm so perplexed by this. I cannot get a fix on it.
But you're saying, I'm assuming that you're saying that if they change it now for the PGA and tournament play, then the average golfer is going to get away from it as well.
Well, this is the RNA and the USGA changing the rules of golf.
Yeah,
they're going
right to
say that you cannot put this club against your body.
Therefore it's considered a sin, right?
Yeah.
Any golfer that wants to take the game seriously is sinning.
That's exactly right.
It's crazy.
And I don't get it.
I don't either. Maybe we should ask Tim, right?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get the USGA. I'm going to try and get Mike Davis, the executive director on the USGA, on next week and see what he says. Because I'm just trying to understand this concept. I think we should be doing the things to make the game easier, faster, and less expensive, so that we don't keep either staying flat or losing players. Between 2011 and 2010, we opened 50-some golf courses. In 2011, we opened 19. In 2010, we closed 100 golf courses. In 2011, we closed 170 golf courses. And the number of rounds went down over a million.
Wow. I had no idea on that stat. I kind of figured that the rounds probably stayed the same, and that there was more people playing at each courses, but it's an overall.
The money the money went up because the courses have to charge more to make it up. But there were over a million less rounds, and there were close to 400,000 less golfers. We went from 26-1 to 25-6.
you think, though, in this time, in these 2 years, money is the number one contributing factor to that?
I think it's money, and I think it's those. I mean, every time we do a study, 2020 does a study, it's those three things. Yes, yeah. Money is probably the number one thing on that list now, that we don't have the ancillary dollars that we had before. But you still have to add in the fact that it the slow play and the game is hard. It's hard to keep somebody playing the game. It just is.
You know, for me, average golfer Joe here, right? I slow play to me is why I don't play certain courses.
Right.
And it's why I don't just say, oh, I'm going to go play golf in an hour and just get in my car and go, because I know, one, it's going to be difficult to even get on at certain courses. And then, two, I know it's going to be probably a 5.5-6 hour round. And I don't, one, don't have that time. And two, I just don't enjoy sitting at the tee box waiting on these guys to wait on the next guys to wait on the next and goof off and not know how to keep up the pace of play, which, you know, it's a topic we've covered a couple times, and it drives me crazy that, you know, you want to get me talking about something I'm passionate about at slow play.
Right. Now, you went to Arizona this last weekend or 2 weekends ago, and you actually played a round of golf opposite the LPGA, as it turned out, and you played fast. Tell the listeners about that.
Yeah, I showed up and had no idea that there was going to be an LPGA event on the course there at Wildfire, JW Marriott there in Scottsdale. And show up and just, you know, I'm a single, walked up, figured out, no big deal, I could just get right on. And then the guy stops me in the parking lot and says, are you here with the tournament? I said, well, what do you mean here with the tournament? He said, well, there's an LPGA event. I said, well, I'm obviously not playing in the tournament, but I would like to play if there's another course here. He said, absolutely. Park your car here. Go ahead. Got paired up. Literally was on the course playing the first hole in less than 15 minutes and got paired up with another single guy. And it was a very unique experience. Right beside the LPGA girls on the 18 that I was playing, and they're playing on the other one, and it was the Donnelly Cup, I believe, which is a really pretty big deal there.
Oh, huge event.
For those girls. And, you know, we probably played the round in 3.5 hours and barely waited on anybody. And it was actually fairly packed. I mean, it was surprisingly that I was able to get on. But, it was a pretty neat experience.
It is. I totally agree with you. It does take away from a round of golf. Whether you're playing for score, you're just playing to have a good time with friends, it just does take away from a round if you just feel like you have to wait on every single shot.
It's horrible. And I'm just such a type A impatient person at heart anyway. But for me, whenever I have to wait, not just one or two holes, okay, I can deal with that. But if it's every single shot, every time, okay, you drive the ball, you sit in the fairway, and you wait on the guys to get off the green. That there's nothing more that just drives me crazier than that. And that, frankly, that is, I think, our fault, right? Or the USGA's fault for not managing that better, because that is what, you know, from a bigger picture overall perspective, that will hurt the game if they don't take that serious. And I know a couple of years ago they kind of started to make a stink about it, right, the pace of play.
Yeah, I think it comes from two things. I love the play it forward incentive. I think if everybody played the proper tee box, it would speed up play so much. It would be unbelievable. But unfortunately, guys' egos don't let us do that.
That's right. And you know what, though? I think it's the simple things. It's don't look for your ball for 10 minutes. If you can't find it, just throw one down. Who cares? You're not a pro. Your score really doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, and then things like putting the bag in the back of the green instead of the front after you walk off of it. I mean, just little things that just, you know, those are the things I think that a guy, maybe a starter, could actually sit down and go over the five, you know, key attributes of fast play, you know, and just little good reminders there at the course would be helpful.
But I remember when in the colony, the Tribute, when the Tribute first opened, they did that. They had that really nice shack right at the first tee, and the starter, would stand there and explain to you the rules to keep pace of play going. And you're right. I mean, it does come down to the golf course itself, managing the golf course, making sure that the – I mean, that's the one advantage to GPS on carts is that if you do have GPS on carts, it does allow the clubhouse to know where people are and if they're out of position to get a marshal out there. And that is something I really do like about GPS on carts. It does keep you more informed rather than you having to call the clubhouse and saying, come on, this is stupid. Get a marshal out here.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know what the deal is with the marshals. But, you know, I just remember playing as a kid. I used to see marshals. And it was like, you know, as a kid, you're kind of scared of them like they're the cops, you know. And they would show up. And I'm like, okay, crap, we better get going here, you know. And of course, they would say something if you were falling behind.
Right.
I don't see that at a public course anywhere in this area. Well, never do I see marshals.
And I think it's because we're all so worried about losing rounds that we do not want to upset somebody, but yet you're upsetting the people behind them more by not doing it. You know, you can do it in such a way that it's not going to harm the relationship, I hope, with people. All right, where else do you like playing in Scottsdale for those listeners who might want to be thinking about going there?
You know, I played at Greyhawk there at the Talon course. It's a phenomenal 36. I believe the other set's called the Raven.
Right.
Both just fantastic. The greens, literally, I think I told you this last week, the greens are fake. I mean, they look fake. They're unreal how nice they roll. There's a really neat, which I think a lot of your listeners would like. If you get a chance to go there, they have a restaurant literally at the actual hitting range, the practice range, and there's the green there, and then there's a nice restaurant called Isabella's. And had a chance to meet the owner, and it's just right there. So you could literally just go, and it's a huge bar and outdoor seating, and they had live music there playing almost every other night. That was a really neat experience. But I also like to play Troon. I mean, if you go to Scottsdale, you know, it's a little expensive. It's very difficult. Definitely you have to have your game on.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend it for anyone over 20 handicap. It's phenomenal. It's really pretty up and down. They certainly take care of it, but I like that. And then my one of my favorites is public course called Weekapaw, which is there an Indian owned. I believe it's actually on a reservation.
It is 36 holes of some of the best public golf you'll ever play.
It is, and that is you know that really has some nice elevation changes, huge fairways. So it's not that difficult to golf.
And no homes.
And no homes, yes, exactly. So it's all truly just, you know, a golf or a dude's paradise, right?
Right. All right. Yeah. So we moved to Houston, then we moved to Valero, and then we're finally at Augusta. Have you started thinking about your pick yet for Augusta?
Well, it's hard not to take the obvious, but looks like he's going to do it again this weekend, or at least a good chance of it. I mean, Tiger for sure. I don't know. I really like the way Justin Rose has been playing, and he's typically puts up some pretty good stats there at Augusta. But you know, the last 4 or 5 years, you know, you look at who's been in the top five at the Masters, and you know, it really could be anybody.
Right.
Some of these folks that typically shine in majors, and you don't hear about them for the next 5 weeks.
So. All right, go have fun, have a great day, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, bud. All right, next Sunday, we are going to try and get somebody on from the RNA or the USGA because I just don't get this. If you have a feeling about it, you can always tweet me at SGGolfer or you can email me at Stephen at thegolfershome.com. Just get in touch with me whenever you want to and give me your feelings about this because I can't seem to grasp it. And we'll try to get somebody on from the USGA or the RNA next Sunday. Next Sunday, it's the Shell Houston Open as we move closer and closer to Augusta. I want to thank everybody for helping out on the show, everybody here, everybody who called in, and I thank you so much for being a part of the Golfer's Home. I'm now going to move my storage bin from Coppell to Fort Worth and try and figure out what to do with the trash. I'm Stephen Gribben. This is the Golfer's Home. 11:90 a.m. Bye-bye, everybody.
KFXR Dallas. With all the top news and business stories of the day, it's all on 1190 AM.